From our study of Joshua, Pastor Ray Bentley points out the pathway of new life.
Once you become a child of God, born again, you're not to go back to the old life. When you identify with Jesus Christ, you bury your past, you bury the old ways, you bury the old methods, and we must now live a new life, marching forward in faith, because God has a glorious new inheritance for us and a new identity that goes along with that.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Walking with God changes us. As we draw closer to God, we become more like Him. And today, Pastor Ray shows us that transformation is evident even in the Old Testament. Case in point today, the entry into the Promised Land. We're in chapter 4 today in our verse-by-verse study through Joshua.
Okay, let's begin with verses 1 through 3, chapter 4 of the book of Joshua. It says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and then leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." So God wanted them to pick up 12 stones as they crossed the river, put a little pile of 12 stones because he wanted to mark the miracle of the opening of the Jordan River as a nation of over 2 million people finally put their feet on the promise of God. So here's the first life lesson that we can apply to us today. What is God saying to us in Joshua 4? Number one, life is always opening new and unexpected things for us. Father God had a tremendous inheritance to give his children, but it was now time for them to put their feet down, to get their feet wet and begin marching forward and moving forward in order to experience it. And this time, encouraged by the report of the two spies that went into Jericho, found Rahab, came back, and told Joshua, "Wow, God has gone before us. The people here are terrified. They've heard of our God and what you did to Pharaoh and what happened in Egypt and in the wilderness and the miracles." And Joshua knew, this is the good news we've been waiting for. And so at dawn, early in the morning, Joshua was instructed, early in the morning, get everybody up, all 2 million of them, in order that they could watch the Ark of the Covenant being carried on the shoulders of the priests. I love that image, because the ark represents where God sits, his throne. And where does God want to rest? On the shoulders of men, made in his image and after his likeness. The ark would go before them, and the people were to follow the ark. So the ark went first into the Jordan River, and when the priests went in and their feet touched the river, then the miracle would happen. The waters would step back and dry land. The people were to follow the ark about a half mile behind it until the miracle happened, and then they were to cross the other side, and then the priests would cross to the other side, and finally Joshua himself. So what the Lord wanted them to know is, for you have never been where you are going now. You're going to some new things, and I want you to know this: as long as you keep God number one in your life, and you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. God will constantly have new and unexpected things for you. And as I was studying and preparing this, the Lord spoke to my heart, said, "Ray, this is a real word for you. It's a real word for my bride and for my church right now." Right now, he said, "I have new things for my bride. I have new land, new ground, new territory, new life experiences, new inheritance for each individual and every family that God has wonderful and new things." The Israelites had followed the cloud in the wilderness. Now they would follow the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the manifest presence of God. And the long journey in the wilderness is now behind them, and the beautiful mystery of a new country and a new life is now before them. And so I love this life lesson. Every time one season ends, it is the beginning of a new season. Life always has a way of bringing new and unexpected things to us. Now, I want to share with you, because as I've mentioned, I believe that our church is at a place where we're moving forward. We're not static. We are being carried by the presence of God into a future that, though we have a long and glorious history of the past, we are going to places we, even as a congregation, have never been before. And our dad is very super excited because he's got surprises in store for us, new things to see, to experience, to inherit, and to grow into. And I'm very, very encouraged by that. Now, let me just share with you on a practical level some new things that are happening. First, with the Lord's blessed us with this school. We are building a brand new high school building, but we're also, I don't know if you guys knew this, but 20-some years ago or whatever, we bought 15 acres here on the corner, but we only developed 10 of it. Now, I want to briefly tell you the story. We used to be in a building in Penasquitos. So that one sat about 1,000 people. We had multiple services, and it was a real parking nightmare. So we felt, okay, God wants us to do something else. The Lord led us. We found this 15 acres in this kind of quasi, you know, business park. And we had not only our church there in Penasquitos, our school was there. Our school started in 1991 because parents came to us and said, we want a Christian school. We want a Christian school. So, you know, I prayed about it and said, Lord, so what do you think? You know, it's not for everybody, not for every church. Or what do you say? Lord said, I definitely want to start a school. I want you to start it. It's going to be not just a school, it's a ministry. We started with one class, kindergarten. And so they were our, you know, we had 8 students, we had one teacher, and that was the start. But it did okay. And then it was like, okay, well, now the parents are like, so are you going to start a first grade? You know, boom. So we started first grade. And then a second grade, then a third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade. Then we said, okay, so we added a junior high. And then that's when it was just all crazy. So we came up here, we found this land, and we purchased it. Now listen, we needed to sell because we had our church and school all in one building. It was just, we didn't fit. It was like Mother Hubbard's shoe where there was kids coming out the eyelets, you know. So we absolutely barely could afford to buy, you know, the land here, but we had to sell the old building in order to afford to build here. And so we put our old church for sale for $3.5 million. We couldn't find a buyer. We couldn't find a church. We couldn't find anything. And so now we're still growing. We're still impacted. And what are we going to do? So after we bought the land, while we bought the land, you know, the people, and it started growing a little bit there and giving a little bit more. And so it was like, okay, we could build one building here, just the sanctuary. Well, okay, I guess we'll keep trying to sell it. It didn't sell. So we built this building. While we were building this building, God kept blessing us while construction was going on. And the bank came and said, actually, not only can you afford to do this one, but you could add the Sunday school building, the 2-story building over there. It's like, oh, cool. Finally, we got a place for a Sunday school. So we built that building. But when we moved here, the business park, you know, they got together and they said, no way can you have a school here. We're not allowing a school. It's a business park. We don't, you know, church is one thing. A school is another. So we're kind of trapped. Well, guess what? 2 miles west of here, we found somebody. They said, hey, there's 100 acres. And I'm like, where? They said, you know, kind of like between here and the beach was like nothing. And they said, out in the middle of nowhere. And I go, oh, great. You know, so I drove to this place. It was 100 acres. And they said, but here's the deal. 70 acres, you can't use or build on it. It's open space, you know, for the little butterflies or whatever. So they said, but now here's the deal. There's 10 acres that the county wants to buy because they need a water treatment thing for gray water, which is like from people's lawns and golf courses, and they kind of clean it up and then use it for other watering. And so, wow, so we could sell that, and that'll help us to buy the land. But we still, so we bought the 100 acres, which was really developing the 20 for the school, but we still couldn't sell the other. But right as we did that, something miraculous happened. We got an offer. This was years later, and they wouldn't buy it at the beginning, the old church and school, for $3.5 million. But now, years later, right when we needed it, somebody else came and said, hey, we'd like to offer you $6.9 million for your old place. We said, let me think about it. Okay, we'll take it. So now the Lord is saying, hey, remember when you were complaining that I wouldn't sell it for 3.5? I wanted to hold out for 6.9. Hello. Wow. So when we came here to this property, it was just dirt. Now, there was the streets and gutters and, you know, electrical, water and all that, but just dirt. So we brought our church and our staff here, and we stood on the land, and I kind of wanted to be like the Bible. I said, let's pray and put our feet on it, just like in Joshua. Let's dedicate it to the Lord. Okay, we're dedicating to the Lord. And we prayed, and we dedicated, and I said, let's grab a rock. And I painted the date on it, and it says March 12th, 1989. When this was nothing but dirt, we painted and put it on this rock. And now this reality has come. And now we're getting ready to develop the 5 acres. This next year, we're going to put in an amphitheater on the 5 acres, and we're going to add another building for more kids and more ministry and more stuff that's happening. Well, when we got the 100 acres, we went over there with our staff and the school staff, and we did the same thing, put our feet on it, we're claiming it, we sanctify it, we dedicate it to your glory, Lord. And so then somebody said, hey, you're going to do like what you did the last time, you know, get a rock. Okay, so I got a rock, they handed me a rock, and we came back to the office, and I'm looking around, okay, what's the date today? I didn't even know. So we could paint, you know, the date of the rock from the school property, and when I went and looked at it, and then looked at this rock, it was the exact same day, March 12th, but it was 1996, 7 years later to the day was the rock from the school property to this one. Now, is that God or what? So it's dedicated to the glory of God. And, you know, it's very, very exciting what God is doing. Now, I want to go on to the next one. We're going to go to, look with me at verses 4 through 7 of this story as it continues on. Verse 4 says, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, so that this may be a sign among you. Why? When your children ask you in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for us a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So here's the life lesson that I want to bring out of that. We all need memorial stones to pass on to the next generation. What we need is, and what I'm asking is, okay, so yeah, we have, you know, I've got this stone, the other stone from the school. So he's got that one. So we have a story, and God is working. And now we're developing over there, we're developing over here, and we're taking steps, and that's very exciting. But there's another level of application that's even bigger and more important than that, and that is to you. God wants every one of you to have your own memorial stone, where you have heard God. You have had an answer to prayer. You have seen salvation break out in your family, where you have cried out to the Lord and he touched you or he healed you. And we need to have, as parents and this living generation, we need to have our own stones, or as it were, our own stories to pass on to the next generation and tell them, look, this is not, yeah, so we brought you to church, and you had to go to Sunday school, and you weren't given a choice, and we brought you, but we put you in the Christian school, and, you know, someday you're going to grow up, and you're going to go to college, and you're going to think, you know, I mean, they were nice, and they meant well, but, hey, the world's got a lot of other things, and I want to see and explore what they think, and, you know, the world, and trying to choose all of that. We need stories that we can pass on that are personal, that are testimonies, and we can say, no, you need to understand something. God is real. The living, there's a creator, and he is supernatural, and he hears our prayers, and he answers us, and he gives us things, and we have an inheritance. And not only that, the whole spiritual realm is real. The angels are real. They're not just a fairy tale and make pretty pictures. There's real angels, and there's also fallen angels, and there's a real devil, and there's a real Satan, and there's really demons. And out in the world, they have their own philosophy of happiness on earth, where you get to choose a little smorgasbord. I'll take a little of this, a little of that, and make up your own morality, your own beliefs, your own gods, your own ways. But we know, as the children of Israel who were going into that land, there was a people who had already suffered for 400 years under the heaviness and the weight of what was demonically tainted, the corruption, the wickedness, the evil, the vileness, violence that took place within all of that. God wanted to cleanse it. It wasn't just different lifestyles. There was a demonic attachment to everything that the Canaanites were into. And God wanted to not only deliver the Jews, he wanted to deliver Canaanites, starting with Rahab the prostitute, whose life was transformed. So we want to have stories that we can say, no, what your mom and dad or, you know, what I believe, it's real. And I can tell you, this is what God did. And this is where God moved in my life. Can I hear an amen, amen on that? So unless we teach the next generation the truth about the Lord, they may fall away. And guess what? That's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. Generations down the road, they said, what? Come on, really? The Red Sea parted. That's just a myth. They told the old people, it's a story. It's a legend. What? The Jordan River? And they would doubt because it'd been so long ago. Hey, we haven't seen anything like that. So then a parent would take, no, you're going with me. Where are we going? I'm taking you to the Jordan River. Why are you taking me to the Jordan River? You know that story? Oh, yeah, I heard that thing 1,000 years ago, whatever. No. And then you take, no, I'm going to show you something. You take him to the Jordan River. There's a pile of 12 stones. And you point to them and you say, that's where your ancestors came from. We were slaves in the past. We were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And we suffered and we were mistreated. And God delivered us. And he raised a guy up that God revealed himself. And his name is Moses. He's a real guy. He's not a legend. And he had a real faith and got a real miracle. And he split the Red Sea. And several million of us crossed over that. And 40 years later, he opened the Jordan River. And when they crossed, they put 12 stones. Look. Grab the stone, pick it up, put it in your hand. It's not a myth, it's reality, and it's powerful. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget where you came from, because if you lose your way, and this is what happened in the future, Israel, they forgot who they were, they forgot where they came from, they lost their identity, they started mingling in with the worldly ways of all of the other cultures, philosophies, ways of living, morality, and didn't know that demons were infested in the whole thing. And little by little, they started getting chipped away, and they lost ground, and they lost battles, and then they started losing their territory, and the next thing you know, they became slaves again, all over again in Babylon. They repeated their history. So God is wanting to protect us. Now look with me in verses 8 and 9. We go into the next part of the story. It says, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and he took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones. Now listen to this. So there's one set of 12 stones on the other side of the river after the miracle. But verse 9, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan River. Now remember, it's a dry riverbed where God parted it. So he put another pile of stones in the middle of the Jordan River, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So here's the next life lesson. Some memorial stones need to be buried at the bottom. This must have seemed like a strange thing for the leader Joshua to do, because what happened is the priests who had the Ark of the Covenant, their feet, when they touched the river, then it's the miracle happened. So they walked into the midst of the Jordan River, and now it's dry. And while they're there, they pile up 12 stones. When they get to the other side, the water will come back. But why? I can understand the 12 stones on the other side of the river. God did this miracle. Why would you leave 12 stones in the middle of the river when God lets the waters come back? Nobody would ever see it again. Only God himself could see the 12 stones heaped up in the middle of the river. Why? It was to remind them that God alone had opened the Jordan River and brought them safely across. But even more importantly, this symbolizes a break with the past. They were never to go that way again. They were never to go backwards, neither to the desert, where they had perished for 40 years, or after 40 years, nor back to Egypt. And yet, as you read through the story of the Old Testament, they were constantly, when things got tough, let's go back. Let's go back to the desert. Let's go back to Egypt. What? No, God never wants us to go backwards. In fact, there's a phrase in the Bible that's described. Have you ever heard the phrase of a backslidden person? They went to church. Yeah, they claim they're a Christian, but they're backslidden. It's somebody who even has experienced a miracle, but they've forgotten about it, and they turned around, and they went backwards. They went back into the desert, where their only identity was merely survival from day to day. Or if they went further back, they went to Egypt, where they were formerly slaves, and addictions, and demons, and all of the infestation that happened there. So the monument at the bottom of the river reminded them that their old life was buried, and they were to walk in newness of life. So when the children of a future generation would ask them about the stones at Gilgal, the parents would explain the miracle of crossing the Jordan River. But they would then add, but there is another monument of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River, my son, my daughter, that you don't see. It's where the priest stood and where the Ark of the Covenant was. You can't see it. But I'm telling you, it's there. And if you want to jump into the river and dive to the bottom, you can touch those stones. It reminds us that our old life is buried, and we must now live a new life, a new land, in a new direction, marching forward in faith, because God has a glorious new inheritance for us, and a new identity, a new power, a new authority, a new glory that goes along with that. So literally, the stones that were buried are like us being baptized. Once you become a child of God, born again, you're not to go back to the old life, the old habits, the old flesh life, the old addictions, the old demonic realm, the old strongholds, the old generational curses, things that can be passed on for several generations. When you identify with Jesus Christ, you bury your past, you bury the old ways, you bury the old methods, you dig up those skeletons, and the demons will come back, and you will lose, and you will lose, and you will lose. So we want to continue marching forward. Amen?
Good insight for our lives today from our studies in Joshua with Pastor Ray Bentley here on Maranatha Radio. And today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Today We Cross Over. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're so pleased to make available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I think many Christians read through the mentions of the Jewish feasts in the Bible in the same way they read those long lists of begats. You know, they just skim through them. Well, the feasts are a part of Jewish history and tradition that have little or nothing to do with New Testament Christianity, or so they say. But you say otherwise in this book, don't you?
Well, yes. This is something, it's not unique just to us, but it's something literally happening around the world. The church is starting to relook at the feasts of the Lord. And we've done a good job at looking at the feasts of the first coming from Passover to Pentecost. But now the church is awakening that there's three more feasts in the fall, from trumpets to tabernacles, that point to the return of Jesus Christ. And they're not called the feasts of the Jews, though they were originally. They're called the feasts of the Lord. Hmm. And so all seven, Dave, point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these feasts are for us, and I think it's time to take a fresh look at their meaning and their purpose.
All right, and I know you do that in your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's even more to help us understand the times in which we live. The Holy Land Key is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.